Well, hello there, witches. It has been a hot second since we have been with you. We have had some life things happen. Imagine that. This is Hexrated. I am Blackbird, and along with my good friend Scarlet, we will be talking today about all the stuff we've been doing for this last little bit. So join us with your favorite hot fall slash winter beverage. Hopefully your weather is getting in the fall range. And enjoy, as always. Thank you for listening. The button. Oh, it has been way too long of a minute, ma'am.
I know you have so very many things that I need you to tell me about.
I don't even know where to start. First of all,
I'm gonna tell you where to start.
Oh shit. We probably should tell the people who we are.
Fucking
though.
Soup.
Hang on. You are skipping so far ahead into the future. I mean, it is the past, but the future past. Shut up. Spooky.
It's all relative.
My name is Blackbird.
My name is Scarlet.
We are Hex Rated, and we are we have been gone for a minute. Hate to say, we had some life unexpected times happening.
Comes at you fast.
Better be paying attention. Oh my god. Yeah, so do you want to just jump right into lasagna soup? That's a thing that
yes,
you want
to...
Okay.
I literally want to like dive into a bowl of lasagna soup and curl up with the noodle over me.
With the little noodle friend. Friend.
Like a little noodle blanket. Just tuck into it like a hot tub.
Like a little, and with a little like cream sauce. Little nappy time. Hang on. I got to look up the recipe because, I mean, it's... I want to not miss anything about this. So I'm about to tell you about a woman that is very fucking annoying on Instagram. And yet I can't stop making her food. This is for anybody that watches Instagram people, or I think she's probably a TikTok person. She's also on Amazon. And this chick is like nine layers deep into I will market every bit of myself. Like, she cooks. She talks about... She's, like, sponsored by Amazon, I'm sure. She, like, talks about Amazon fashion, like, what she's wearing. You can buy it on Amazon. She has all the products she uses on it. So it's kind of gross, right? It's a little gross. But let's talk about lasagna soup. This soup does not come together in just over 30 minutes. That's a lie. But I'm going to tell you about it. So I know you don't eat meat, but you don't have to.
I sure don't.
You really don't have to enjoy it. Sorry, I'm kind of vamping because I'm trying to find this fucking recipe.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, to preface this, you sent me a messenger message of a list of completely unrelated things that you wanted to tell me about.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them was lasagna fucking soup. And that was the one that I responded to. And I wrote, wait, what the fuck? Shut your whore mouth.
You responded viscerally. And I am not sad about that. Okay, look, I'm just going to tell you what I think is in this because I can't find the fucking recipe now to save my life. But so you have your base, which for us was Italian sausage, which delicious. Italian sausage and an onion. I think she used ground beef. You could use zero meat. Then there is a ratio of basically chicken broth to heavy cream. I think you put cream, like straight up cream, in it. I'm sure you could cut it with half and half, but why would you fucking do that? And then like cans of tomatoes, like your typical, like if you were gonna make a sauce, but you're just adding cream to it. And look, I know that doesn't blow anybody's mind here or on this call, but I am not a person that just adds cream willy-nilly to shit. Really?
And oh, I am.
I'm with you and I love it. It's just not, I usually don't have it. So it's kind of like, that's an afterthought. And I don't really make a whole lot of things that have it in it. So when I do it, it blows my fucking mind how good it is, which is stupid because I know how to cook and I know how good whipped cream is. Anyway. All right. So, but wait, I'm not even to the best part. First of all, I'm going to tell you the problem with this. So far, the base is delicious, right? It's like this chickeny, brothy, or not vegetable broth, whatever, with like tomatoes and cream and like use some Italian spices, maybe chop up some fucking, fresh oregano, like get in there, right? Get in there with your Italian heritage cooking. Right. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but wait.
No, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
So her deal is take lasagna noodles. Now, I'm going to use my hand here for everyone in the office, but we all know a lasagna noodle is like a good like 3 inches like wide, four, three, probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's probably like 2.5. Yeah.
It's big. So she says, cut a one noodle into thirds.
That's not gonna work.
Well, you can, but I'm telling
they crack.
But also, they are still big. It's still really big. Now you just have a shorter yet still wide giant thing. So this is my tweak, and I did not do this time because I realized, oh, now I have giant ass lasagna noodles in this soup. It makes it kind of hard to eat. The cracking was actually helpful because then you have like a little sliver of lasagna noodle, and that's totally doable. Here's the solution. Use a different pasta. I mean, I know it's called quote unquote lasagna soup, but I would suggest like either those little, the radiatore, I love those because they got a lot of ridges. They're fun. Or like mini anything, like mini penne, mini farfalle, or just try to find something that is slightly lasagna shaped. I feel like there is like a little noodle that has the ridges on the outside, but I could be wrong. Whatever. Find something smaller is all I'm trying to say. Because lasagna noodles, while exciting and making it lasagna soup, made it a little bit difficult to eat. But wait, here's the piece de resistance. Are you ready?
Yes.
You take ricotta cheese.
Okay.
And since I am so, I don't know, lazy / smart that I don't like to go to the grocery store, Instacart, they could not find me a normal size ricotta. So I have like a vat, a legit like 64-ounce tub of ricotta, yes, in my fridge, which we'll get into that later. I have lots of fun uses for ricotta now. But you take ricotta cheese. You're looking at me like that. You take ricotta cheese. You take mozzarella cheese. I love your face. You take Parmesan cheese and you take some freshly torn up Italian parsley and you make fucking little cheese balls. Now, I was going to say, I see the look on your face and now I have blown your mind. Am I right?
You make, yes,
like little balls.
This
like,
is not what I expected.
Right, because it's so fucking good. You make little balls like the size of like a tiny meatball. Or like, I guess however big you want to, but I made it like the size of like if you were going to make cookies out of cookie dough.
Okay.
And then you drop it in the soup. Sorry, for people that might not have caught that. Then you drop it into the hot, steamy soup.
So you have this like basically like a poached egg consistency glob of cheese,
uh-huh,
floating in your soup.
Yes,
that sounds great.
And then it melts, and it is amazing.
Wow, look, that's not what I pictured.
I know. Right. What did you
but
picture?
I want it very badly.
No, I,
well, I was basically thinking of like a really watery lasagna like I make, which you make this butter and flour and white pepper roux, which is basically like kind of like an Alfredo sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then you layer in Gruyere, and or sometimes I'll sub Swiss and mozzarella, and then I usually do like the four cheese Italian blend of, you know, of the hard cheeses, so like, you know,
Parmesan,
Romano, Parmesan, Asiago, whatever. So to me, I'm picturing like a cream-based soup, sort of like a cream of broccoli or something. But then it would have the other ingredients that I put in there, which are, you know, like some kind of vegetable or mushroom. And I put sage in mine. But yeah, so honestly, just a really saucy, saucy,
cheesy, but like
lasagna,
no tomato like base,
swimming in sauce.
But you have
I don't use tomato in mine.
Yeah. So I mean,
that sounds great. Anytime I can have a glob of cheese
melting on something,
Or just a glob of cheese in my mouth.
Well, what's been so here's been the amazing part. I made way too many of those cheese balls. So I mean,
it sounds like you made the right amount.
Well, I've had like, I have this like tin of cheese balls in the fridge, and now I can just pop it in whatever the fuck I want. Which
your face.
Yeah. And we have pasta probably, you know, at least once a week. So I've just been, you know, having it with my pasta. But let me. OK, if you don't know about this, I got a hats off to our mutual friend that loves yoga and Krav Maga, because she keeps meeting me at this coffee place in Las Colinas whenever I'm in town. Like, that's just like now where we meet. They had some fucking like seeded bread toast, which, okay, whatever. Put it on any bread. I don't give a shit. But they whipped ricotta with a little bit of like possibly sugar slash honey, whatever.
Honey, probably.
Then put it on the toast and then drizzled it with more honey and then put pistachio on it. So like I did that, but with slivered almonds, and that is now, I don't know, a thing that I am doing that is amazing and blowing my mind. Probably nothing new for people.
No. But like this is so a while back, you referred to my method of cooking as chaos cooking.
Yes.
And I loved that.
I
got really inspired, and I scribbled down a bunch of notes of like what a chaos cookbook would be.
Yes.
And one of the things that I have is a long, long time ago when I started like hosting more dinner parties and things, I made a spreadsheet and
of course
I made a column of breads, a column of cheese, a column of then toppings.
You are about to tell me you wordled this fucking shit, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And then I had so of the toppings, so there was nuts, so a list of various nuts, a list of various sauces or condiments. And then also a list of fruit spreads specifically.
Oh my God.
At first, I was trying to, you know, like,
kind of keep everything
sort of
in the
fashion
little
plate.
Yeah.
You know, those like little fashion plates where you have like three choices that you can flip through.
I loved fashion plates.
I was trying to basically decide which combinations sounded the tastiest. And it turns out all of them are. They all are.
Right.
Like, if you put bread and cheese, nuts, and
fruit,
then some sort of fruit spread.
Doesn't matter.
It will always be good.
Yep.
It doesn't. You just spin the wheel of fortune, my friend. Whatever is in your fridge. And so, to that end, I usually keep a package of frozen, like, either the Pillsbury pop-open croissant dough or like puff pastry or phyllo dough or something, something like that. And then you just unfurl it, put it on a baking sheet, put your cheese, put your nuts, drizzle your jam or whatever. I mean, and some of the other condiments could be things like, you know, balsamic vinegar or like super dense balsamic or honey or hot sauce or, you know, sriracha or whatever. And so, yeah, if you put in, and you don't have to do all three categories. You could just do nuts and cheese. You could do cheese and fruit. you could do fruit and nut, like,
yeah, the possibilities.
Get you some bread with some cheese on it, and pretty much it's gonna be a home run. But
yeah,
so yes,
you know, that was always our witch night special, is you would make some kind of crust or bread with some kind of cheese and some other element, and it was always fucking amazing. So yeah,
yeah, literally, well, it's always good.
I could even extrapolate. You could extrapolate this whole exercise and add, like, you know, pasta with, you know, sauce, like this. You could make a whole, like, sheet where you could just pluck things. This probably already exists, but I still would.
Well, it will in my chaos cooking.
I would read yours beyond anybody else's, right? And just like have like dinner category, bread and cheese category. You know, like, you could just.
Well, the thing about the bread and cheese is that, like, that's really, I mean, you could make it as like an appetizer, right, as like a finger food. You could just serve it as some kind of like flatbread,
yep,
open faced situation.
Yes.
You know, if you did something that's like a little more sweet, like you said, like the whipped ricotta and honey.
Right.
That dessert gets to be a little more desserty.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
But the brilliant thing about the bread and cheese is if you use like frozen dough, then the only step is you just have to unfurl it and bake it.
Right. Well, and by
otherwise,
by
if
cheese,
you just have bread, yeah, if you just have bread, you could also just toast the bread. So the very minimal cooking.
Oh yeah.
And, yeah, and, so I just always try to have, I usually have some kind of shredded cheese just to have with, like, I don't know, like scrambled eggs or whatever, or nachos. And then I usually have like a fancy, like, stronger cheese, like, I don't know, whatever just seems good, like some kind of
blue cheese or something. Yeah.
Blue cheese, yeah, or brie or something.
That's good.
So yeah. So I always have something like that. Yeah. And then I always have some kind of like funky jelly or whatever, because I like those like roadside down home, like
jelly shops. Down home jelly shop. Okay. So lasagna soup. All right. That was one. Cooking thing number two, because, you know, this is, it's all witchcraft, my friends. I don't know what you came here for, but this is what you get. New thing with bread, new, a deviation, if you will. And you know how I feel about my sourdough. I don't like to deviate once I figure it out and things are going well. But
you say that, but then you ventured into a sourdough croissant, and then you made like wheat sourdough.
I am doing wheat sourdough.
So
lately.
You are a giant liar.
Yeah, okay.
You are very experimental. You now make three kinds of sourdough, and I make zero.
My
so
pants are constantly on
more.
Fire. Yes. So, but here's something that I have noticed. My bread, while being delicious and is mostly great for toast, in my opinion, although I have been known to eat a sandwich, it's not soft. Like, the inside texture is not soft, which I know sometimes sourdough just isn't, and that's fine. But I wanted to see if I could make it softer, and I can. And here's how.
Oh,
here's how. It is a method. It is an Asian method. That way I don't have to be specific, but I think it's Japanese. But it's called tangzong. And what you do is you take some of the flour and some of the water out of your recipe, and you boil it on the stove and make like a sludge. It's like cream of wheat without the granules. That's the consistency you want.
Yeah, like a slurry.
Yeah, like a slurry. A little bit thicker than a slurry. And then you know what I'm saying. I mean, I know what a slurry is. I don't know if you do.
Apparently not. I've been told.
Oh my God, I'm going to pop the fuck out of this mic. Anyway, it's like cream of wheat without the grittiness, that consistency. And then you let it cool, and then you fold it back in to your dough with the rest of the ingredients that you have already mixed up. So what this does, or what it is purported to do, and what it has seemed to have done, is it makes your texture, not your crust, but the texture of the inside of the bread, softer. And I will vouch, because I think the difference between this four loaves of wheat versus the first ones I made, definitely softer on the inside. And sometimes, you know, after a while, I keep it on the counter for like, I don't know, a week. And then I throw it in the fridge because I don't want to lose it. I don't want it to mold or anything. So I throw it in the fridge. And usually once it's in the fridge, it gets like, it gets even harder. Like it's not, it really doesn't retain that softness. Well, this is seemingly retaining it. Now, it's not like soft, like white bread. Let's be clear. It's not so soft, but it is softer, and that's what I was looking for. So, yay, deviation.
That sounds fucking great. I would like some bread.
You would like to try some bread. Do you like wheat?
Sure. Okay. Dude, I fucking love bread.
Right. Get you some cheese ready.
Yep.
Okay. Since we're in here, tea corner. I mean, we got to do it, right? Magic tea.
Always.
Magic tea time corner from our friends at Magic Hour Teas. The teas with impossibilities. Anyway, it sounded
good.
Is that
good. Their slogan?
Their company, like when you pay them, it is impossibilities.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever.
The way you said it sounded very,
it sounded
very
convincing.
Alluring.
Convincing.
Yeah.
So they have a...
So what we're saying is you should definitely sponsor our podcast.
Well, I would love that. Hello, Xena Magic Hour.
Disclaimer, they do not. We just really
really like this tea. And I have given them way too much of my money since you gifted it to me in January of 2023.
First taste is free.
First taste is free. But they have a flavor right now called pumpkin spice cake batter. And
yes, please.
You need to shut the front door because it is fucking good. Now, am I going to say it's better than my two all-time favorites, which is Onyx and Queen of the South? I will not say that, but I will say it makes me want to buy that $55 bottle, bitch. Like, I really want it. I want it bad. If you buy just the replacement pouch, it's like $33 or $34. So that is at least more. You don't need the glass bottle. As a matter of fact, side story, went to see my sister this past weekend, and I had gifted her a large glass bottle of the Onyx because she really likes it too. And I wanted her to have the pretty bottle. Well, in somebody's like anger or fever dream, they started hammering at the lid with a hammer, not knowing that it was glass. They couldn't get it open. Like, the jars are very hard to get open, P.S. Like, I have had trouble myself. The trick is to put it in the freezer for a few minutes. But this was way too far gone. They had already tried some things, tried to get it off. I think, you know, somebody didn't know it was glass, so they just started, like, the thing that bothered me is, like, they banged on one side with a hammer, and then the glass broke off. Now you know it's glass, so now you just keep banging on it? It was, anyway, whatever. I brought it home, and of course, Mr. Blackbird got it off in, like, 2 seconds with the screwdriver. But all of that to say, the pumpkin spice cake batter is, like, I need it. I need more of it.
Yum.
I got smart.
Because there is so much pumpkin spice, but the cake batter element sounds great.
And this is not like your typical, you know how pumpkin spice starts tasting. After a while, people fuck it up and it's all like kind of too saccharine-y and too, you know, it's just too, like, it's too cloying. This is
and then
good.
There's like a fake aspartame, right? Sort of fake pumpkin flavor.
Not in this tea, motherfucker. Like, it's almost like, it's almost like if they, the carrot cake tea that I did not like, this has a little bit of that element, but like in a good way for me. So like, I have a feeling you would love it. I mean,
listen, I'll drink a cup of hot water with like cloves and a cardamom pod stick of cinnamon and a whole nutmeg in it.
I mean,
if that's your pumpkin spice tea,
I'm on it.
Yes, please.
I was going to say, speaking of that, so many cooking related magic things. I've been really into making like homemade chai right now. Like, it's my jam.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing it all the fucking time. I bought like a big ass.
I
want
to hear all about that. Can we have like I was going to say chai stravaganza. I don't know if that's the best title for this.
I mean, we can, but I'm certainly am no expert, but I've gotten to make it to where I like it. And I bought a big ass bag of cardamom pods. So I guess I'm in for a penny, in for a pound of cardamom pods, but it's fine because it's delicious. But I decided this year, of course, I'm going to tell you how I was dumb about it in a minute, but it's a great idea in concept. And then I fucked up the delivery. I make my soul cakes every year, which is...
Oh, yes. I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. That's part of this whole journey we're on. It's all intertwined.
Okay. She's going to weave it all together for us, you guys. It's a tapestry of flavors and sights and sounds and smells.
Oh, my God. The soul cakes, they have fruit in them. You soak the fruit in a liquid of your choice. I chose chai.
Ooh.
Yes.
Fuck you, you wily cunt. What the fuck?
But wait. Here's what I did in all of my genius. Here's where it goes wrong. Oh. I'm in the kitchen. I'm like, ooh, these would be really good soaked in chai. I have a cup of, or not a cup, but the thing that you cook the chai in. What is those called? It's called a saucepan, everyone. I have a small saucepan on the stove full of like leftover chai spices plus a little bit of milk still, like enough to soak some fruit in. But which part of the element are you seeing this ahead before I do it? Like, I just throw the fruit in, right? Well, keep in mind there's tea in there. And the tea is like little pieces of tea. So now there's fruit with little pieces of tea and delicious spices, but also little pieces of tea that I don't want in my cookie because it'll taste like wood chips.
I was imagining you had like the strange final product.
No, I drank that. I drank that and just thought, oh, it will be really good to just throw this in here and let it soak. And I let it soak for a long ass time. And that's great, except I ended up just like redoing it without the chai because, well, that's a lie. Here's what I did. I fucking rinsed off every piece of fruit that I picked out of the chai. It still tasted like that. You could still have it still had the flavor. But, like, I had to rinse it off with water to get all the little tea pieces off of things. That's what I did.
Well, you know what you should also do with your chai?
Tell me.
Have you ever made tea eggs?
I've heard of them. I do not think I have ever made one.
I can't get them to look as spooky-ooky as they ought to, but I have made them. And it's basically you take a hard-boiled egg. Mm-hmm. And then you gently crack the surface, but you don't peel it.
Right.
So there's this like, you know, like spider webbing of cracks, and then you let it soak in a liquid of your choice. So most traditional like Chinese tea eggs use similar spices. It's like a lot of allspice and maybe a little soy sauce or something.
Yum.
But yeah. So
yum. I want to try that. No, I've seen it done. I want to say I might have done it at like a, you know, like a, I don't know, fun high school party. No, more like after school situation. You know,
fun high school parties where it's not Easter and you're not like dyeing eggs. You're just getting together on a Friday night. All your homework's done. You're going to blow off some steam and
boil some
eggs. Your friend,
like you do,
you know,
oh.
Like an egg party, duh.
You know, those are the kind of parties I was having when I was like,
okay. Listen, we're saying this, but if someone had an egg party, I would 100% show up. I would love to have some eggs.
I would have been there when I was 16 too. I would have gone to the fucking egg party.
Yes.
Tell me you wouldn't. You would go to the egg party.
I would go to. I love a good egg.
I love a good egg. Well, I think we should.
I'm the monster in the corner that eats like the entire tray of deviled eggs. Like no one else wants them. And I'm like,
more for me, motherfucker. Okay. So, all right.
But soul cakes. So
yes,
let's talk about that a little bit.
We can talk about it because that's on my hit list of the world of wonder since we've talked last. So this year, I am a liar because I totally deviated this year for that too. And here's what I did. I bought this book recently. I do not know.
Oh, we got a reader.
Look out. I don't know anything about this dude, but I liked the title of this book. It is called Journaling the Tarot, Book of Big Questions. His name is Andy. I don't like that part. Andy Matzner. So like already there's a lot of bells going off like, okay, the secondary title is terrible. The font is just absolutely heinous here. It's like close to Comic Sans. Terrible. Sorry, Andy. However, there's like two pages of journal questions for every card in a deck.
Whoa, shit.
Yes, whoa, shit.
That would take like years to complete.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. No, that's not what I ended. So what I decided to do was, so this was the night of Halloween, and this is when I always do everything. So let's lead up. So magically, the day before, and I texted you this shit, woke up and there was like this amazing like fog covering everything. You could barely see down to the end of the street. It was like the spookiest and most like enveloping fog I've seen since we've lived here. And we've had some pretty good fog, just saying. But this was like top level, top shelf fog.
Yeah, it was like intro to Sleepy Hollow.
Yes.
Like Tim Burton, New England.
For sure. Yeah, because all the leaves are like on fire right now. Like, well, now they're gone almost. But it was like very, like all this color and then just wrapped in this like gray mist. It was amazing. And just, we both commented on how we felt like the veil was really thin this year. More so to me, more so than other years. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm up here. Maybe. But I don't know. I felt like I was connecting like the day before Halloween.
Yeah. The week before, usually I'm like so into the Halloween spirit and I'm decorating and I'm getting all my spooky, ooky stuff out. Yeah. And, you know, I'm getting all in the mood and like getting excited that it's getting darker earlier and, you know, all the stuff. And I didn't really have as much of that this year, partly because the first weeks of the month were unseasonably warm. But anyway, so I didn't have that, but I did notice, I was seeing like with my eyeballs, more apparitions, like small, like little animal spirits and familiars and fey and stuff out of the corner of my eyes, which is not a thing I normally have,
right?
Unless I'm really doing something, like I'm in a ritual and I'm like in a trance. But even then, usually it's stuff that I'm seeing like in my mind's eye. So either I am having some kind of midlife ocular situation.
I'm here for it. No.
Although I did get myself some really nice glasses. I had these cat eyes glasses. I had some a pair of sunglasses, but the cat eye frame is a snicky snake.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, these would make really cute glasses. So I got a second pair with prescription lenses.
I love it.
But anyway, so yeah, that was my experience, that I saw a lot of
like little
otherworldly
shadowy
creatures, people. And things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, well, so it felt really thin. And then Halloween, I decided to get up and I like just opened, even though it was a work day and I did work, I left all the candles on my altar were on. I use LED candles. I mean, I'll light a real candle occasionally, but not for like all the time, general purpose. So just all the lights were on and it just felt like so cool and different because this is my office too. So I'm like working, but yet I'm like it almost felt like secret, like, oh, I'm in this meeting, but they don't know that behind me is this glorious witchcraft. You know, like it was just like kind of fun. And then it just like toward the evening, so we had a fire pit disaster. Not really. That sounds terrible. The fire pit that was here, that was from the previous owner, had like rusted out. So I had to do an emergency fire pit by that afternoon. So went and got a fire pit for $100 at Tractor Supply. Their slogan is "For life out here." And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I mean, we're not that far out, but okay. So I went and got my fire pit, put it together. That was solved. So then, you know, I was like, ooh, okay, I'm gonna get everything ready. I'm gonna write my letters. We're gonna go build a fire, burn them, make some s'mores, call it a night. Of course, it started drizzle raining, but that's okay because I was still fucking gonna do it. But when I sat down to write my letters, I had gotten this book like that day, and I had not, like, I wasn't even thinking I was gonna use this book in this ritual, because I never do this. I always usually just decide who I'm writing letters to, because I don't like there. It's always for deceased loved ones, but I don't always write a letter to everybody, and I don't always write a letter to the same people every year. So like this year I was like, well, definitely my mom, probably Pappy's brother, and my ex-English teacher, who I usually write to, and then my dad, which I hardly ever write to my dad, and I don't know why. I'm sure there's some deep city bullshit there that we're not going into right now, but like I just like picked up, like, I was like, okay. And so then I'm like sitting on the floor in front of my altar, and it's like full witch now. I can hide the office stuff with curtains, like my beautiful curtains. So I'm sitting there on the floor. I'm like, okay, well, now I know who I want to write to. This isn't enough. Like, it's not enough that I'm going to write a letter. It's not enough. I need to do more. It wasn't like that. It was just like I had this really strong urge to draw a card for each person. And that is something that I have never fucking done. Never done it. Still, in the back of my mind, not even thinking about this journal book, just thinking I need to draw a card for each person. So I drew a card for each person. And then I looked at the cards, and they're all, of course, extremely fitting. Like, extremely fitting. Okay, for example, I'll just tell you. And I used the Spolia deck, which is one of my favorites.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's with the purple outsides and the cool... Yeah. So the first one, my mom, was the Five of Swords. My English teacher is the Star. Totally fitting.
Yeah. Perfect.
Chris. Get it. Chris was the Three of Cups, which totally makes sense, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And then my dad was the Nine of Coins, which also just totally, like, it all was just like on the nose, on the nose, on the nose. Crazy. And so of course I'm just sitting on my floor like you do, go, oh, this is fucking bananas. So then I think, okay, well, shit, I have this book, why don't I look at these card questions and see if one of the questions jumps out to me, and I will write the letter with that as the topic, or that is kind of the framework.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it was fucking amazing. Genius. Right. So of course, you know, I burn everything. So I don't know what I wrote, but I just remember being in it. Like, here, we'll look at like some of the questions. Like, I kind of remember the general gist, but the one I liked the most was the Star, because the questions are a lot about like, what should people know about you? How have you been listening to your intuition? How are you following your heart? How are you, how can you best honor each of your senses? What gives your life meaning? So like all of these questions are kind of like, I kind of learned how to be, I don't want to say a normal person. I kind of learned the way I wanted to be in the world at that time, like my high school graduation / early 20s, from this person that was my high school senior AP English teacher. She kind of taught me, like, I don't know, just how I wanted to be, like, just like smart, and like I wanted to write, and I wanted to be gracious and caring, like all of these elements about her. And I mean, I know you can say that about a lot of people, anything, but it just really resonates. Like, she inspired me. She is the reason I listen to my intuition. She is the voice I hear when I think of my intuition.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah, it was like on the fucking money. And, you know, that, and then I have these little stickers. They're tarot card stickers. And I put the sticker on the letter, like in the corner, like it's, you know, it's burned now, but it's like just this, like, so I would, I don't know. It's just like, I remember now.
Like a little
this
stamp.
Is, yeah. Like a little stamp.
Into the other world.
And the thing with my husband's brother, who took his life in 2017, Three of Cups makes a lot of sense because he was always like the fun guy, right? He was always like the life of the party. And it was so crazy because when we went outside, made the fire, I had burned like two of the letters, and then I threw Chris's in and the fire just leapt right up. It was like, it was, there wasn't a wind or anything. It just leapt right up. It was like, yep, you got it. You know, it was crazy. It just felt, I don't know, everything felt so right. So then I sat out there and watched the fire die, and it felt really, I didn't feel like, I felt like everybody was there, but kind of just like hanging back, you know, like just like, hey, this was good. Like high fives. I don't know.
Well, that's not surprising that you say that, because I was just thinking like the amount of like emotional labor that you did in such a small amount of time, like any one of those elements is something that like you could marinate over for like the entire month.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, just contemplating writing a letter to one person and crafting it and writing it, or, you know, just drawing a tarot card for a beloved dead and then thinking about what that is, or, you know, doing this tarot journaling just for one of the questions or one of the cards. And then also doing this ritual of like ritually burning a letter. You know, all of
you make
these
it
things,
sound like it's a lot.
It is it's a whole lot. And then each one was like super emotionally impactful for you. It certainly wasn't like you were like doing some kind of Mad Lib where you're like, dear dead person,
no.
What is up with you? Not much here. Thanks for asking. I hope everything is going great.
How was your summer?
Yours truly. Lots of love.
No, and it was more, I will say that in years past, I have written more of like a legit letter. Like, they've usually, you know, really been like, here are some thoughts, but also just like, I am writing it in long form, like a prose letter. These were more like poems almost. Or like little snippets of prose. It wasn't like a big long letter. Because I think I just wanted to take the impression of the journal, find the question that spoke to me the most, and like address that with that person. And that really was a great, I want to do it again next year because I thought it was a really great format. Just for,
well, I think also, did you get the impression maybe that like as you're thinking it and as you're sort of writing it, it's more like you're having a dialogue with that person as opposed to like they are away from you. They cannot hear you. They're not listening to you think or speak to them or aware of your writing. And it's like a real letter where the recipient is going to, you know, they're very disconnected from you in time and space. And
right. I did not feel like that.
Like,
right.
Yeah. So it seems like kind of doing this practice, maybe it started off more literal and now it's sort of like more of a
conversation.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I think that my, even my relationship with those people like keeps changing, keeps evolving to this shorthand where I don't have to be so formal. They they know where I'm at and where my mind is and what I want to, like, not that they know what I want to say, but they don't need the formality. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it was really, really good this year. I don't know. Like, I really love that practice. There are just some years where, like, especially the year my mom died, like, that's the only letter I could write. I don't even remember what I wrote. I was a fucking mess. And, you know, it just like there, that's all I could do. That was it. That one letter. Could not do more.
Right.
Right. So like I think this year was good because I felt like I had some energy weaving into the next subject. Yam pellet miracle. I've done a whole Broadway show about it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. You may or may not know what I'm fucking talking about. And I can't remember if I've already mentioned this on the show.
You've mentioned it to me, but I don't really remember. All I know is you were like, yeah, sweet potatoes up my hoo-ha.
Yes. Well, not quite, but okay.
Well, yes. I mean.
I mean, I think you made it sound like something that might be fun. But no. So what we're talking about is I am a woman of advanced years. Oh, God, that sounds terrible. I'm 52. I have been in the extreme throes of menopause for like at least 5 years. That sounds all tragic and sad, but no one really tells you what this could possibly mean for you. It could mean nothing. Like, lots of women don't have the kind of effects that I had. But basically, once all my hormones just stopped, you know, producing, I had really, really terrible hip pain. And I've had, like, it was hard to diagnose because I went, like, I stopped roller skating in Derby where people crash into your hips constantly. And then was like, well, is it just from Derby? No, it was like, it's like joint pain. But it's constant. Like, it was literally all the time, every night, every day. My hips felt like, I don't even know how to describe it. It just feels like your bones are like crushing it on themselves. It's terrible. And you just get used to it. You're like, well, I gotta fucking just keep doing work and keep answering emails and keep walking.
God, that is the most Capricorn response yeah, to something painful, like, and inconvenient.
Just gotta keep going. Well,
this is my life
now.
Well,
it's not like I didn't try. I did see several people. Somebody told me, one doctor said it was bursitis. I went to physical therapy for like 2 months and kept doing the exercises. No help. Like, basically, it wasn't just that. It was like mood swings, hot flashes, night sweats, migraines, and the hip pain. And I just had to keep going. No, I mean, I did have to just keep going, which really sucked. But there was a lot of times, especially work days, especially Mondays. I wonder why that is. Where I would just wake up and it felt like somebody was like drilling into the front of my skull. Like, none of this has been fun. For 5 fucking years, it's not been fun. So I started this process of this year going to see doctors. I'm like, look, I got to do something about my life because I cannot. This could last another 5 years and I'm just not living like that. So several doctors were like, yep, sorry, that's just being a lady. Whoop-a-dee-doo. These are female doctors going, no, nothing we can do. So I was on the phone with my GP, like doing a virtual appointment. She's like, well, you know, there's this thing called bioidentical hormone replacement. Have you looked into that? I was like, no, I had not. So
I'm not a doctor. You are. No,
but she's like, she acts like she doesn't really know about it. She's like, well, I don't think it's covered by insurance. I was like, I don't care. Like, at that point, I was like, I don't know. Does it work? Who gives a shit? But I was still a little skeptical because it sounds real like dumb when you go on these websites and it's like, we're a ladies clinic and we're here to help you, and with the help of this cream you're gonna be just fine. It's all very, you know, lots of buzzwords for femininity. It's,
yeah,
like,
it definitely sounds like it, all one, it could be very like homeopathic, right? Where, yes, it's like not really doing anything,
right?
And, or like things like yoni steaming,
right, it sounds like that.
Really not something you should, I mean, listen, I'm not gonna tell you not to burn your chotch,
it's,
but
it's not good for your yoni. No, it's not good. No, disproven. But no, it's, but so legit, it is not those things. But here's how I kind of found out. I went to the great source of Reddit. I went to the Reddit menopause threads. And I started reading and I like looked up this topic specifically, and I found this one thread where at least not one, not two, but like 4 or 5 people were saying how this completely changed their life. I was like, well, 5 people on Reddit's good enough for me. No, I actually wrote a stranger. I sent a message to one of the women that was in this thread and I was like, look, I'm thinking about doing this. It's, you know, it's not cheap. Like, because this the thread was kind of old at this time. And I was like, are you still getting the benefits? Do you still feel good? Like, tell me everything. And she was nice enough to write back like a full page of shit. And she was like, you know, I really think the reason that this isn't talked about is because it's helping. And, you know, Big Pharma wants to keep you on, like, it's what I was taking is like horse estrogen, which is not really similar to human estrogen. But here's where I'm going. The way they, or some of the clinics, at least the one I went to, and this is run by a gynecologist who is a member of the National Menopause Society. So it's like legit doctors. It's not some quack shack or anything, but they have found, or a person, a doctor 10 years ago or a little bit longer, found that the enzymes in wild yams mimic human estrogen way better than equine estrogen. So I was like, well, here's the kicker for me. Estrogen, while being an issue, my lack of testosterone is really my main issue as far as like my hip pain, the migraines, the extreme fatigue. That is testosterone. And I was like, okay, tell me how you can be negative in a hormone, because that's what I was. Negative. So here's what happened. I got my blood tested. They read my labs. They were like, okay, you're a candidate. So you go and you have a little chit chat with a nice lady. She's like a PA. And she was just like, she listened to all my symptoms. She's like, you're going to feel like a different person. I was like, I don't believe you, but okay, take my money, whatever. It's like, I don't know that anybody can change this, but here, I will give it a whirl. So it was $525 for the initial like consultation and insertion. Shh, it does not go in your hoo-ha. They take a big shot and numb your ass cheek, basically like the top part of your hip. And then they insert a little rice pellet size thing of the enzyme from the yams, which is the estrogen. And then they also insert these little teeny tiny Tic Tac shaped things that is like estradiol and testosterone. And I think maybe one other thing. I don't know what. Maybe progesterone, but I don't think so, because I have a partial hysterectomy, so I don't need progesterone. That's for your uterus. Anyway, I got these all injected into my upper hip, but I like to say yams in my ass because it's fun to say.
That's the title of the episode.
That's right. So, God, I guess it is. It's not child friendly. That's fine. So they put that in, and then like you walk away, they put a bandage on you. You're like, don't wash it, put it, keep it under wraps for like a week. So that's fine. Waterproof bandage, took a shower, no problem. Healed up just fine. Within literally like 3 days,
you got your instructions telepathically for the liberal gay agenda.
I mean, that as well as no more hip pain. I think the liberal gay agenda was even more impressive. But yeah, like, and she told me, she said, you know, the testosterone is not going to start working for 3 to 4 weeks. I was like, what a bummer. Wrong. Like literally 3 or 4 days, and I was already feeling so much better. And I know I'm going to list some things I did in one day, and you're going to be like, that's a normal day. But honestly, for me, this was a day where if I would have done one of these things, I would have had to lie the fuck down. I got up. I went to a pumpkin stand. I don't know what else you call them. It was like a
patch.
No, it wasn't a patch. It was like a produce/nursery
okay.
place.
Okay.
They had lots of pumpkins, though. Got up at like 7 in the morning on a Saturday. Went and what? Bought some fucking what? Pumpkins. Yeah, because I wanted what? To be the first one there. I don't know why. I was just...
What?
Dude.
Who are you?
Gets fucking weirder. Get ready. Come home. Like, put all my... I had little flowers and pumpkins. Set them all on my porch. Make it look nice.
It's festive gourd season, motherfucker.
That's right. Fucking is. Then I made sourdough, which is not nothing. I made some other... Oh, I made the soul cakes. This is all same day. Still doing same day shit.
With the chai, the rinsing the fruit.
Yes,
off the,
yes.
That was all that... Okay.
All that same day. I think I made one other fucking baked good. I don't know. That seems wrong. Probably just those two. But then I like did some other shit, like housework shit, like emptied the dishwasher, did the laundry, like a bunch of shit. This like I could literally not get through one of those tasks a month ago without having to just like call it a day.
Wow.
So and
I need that for my ADD, because I'm the same, but I am not, I might be premenopausal at this point, but
you're still kind of early. But
I don't know.
All I can say is it's now like I'm in the third week. I feel so much better. I'm sleeping like a solid like 7.5 to 8 hours every single night. I'm not even waking up in the middle of the night anymore. I'm having a few hot flashes, but not crazy. No more night sweats. Have not had a migraine. That might be a lie. No, I had a little tiny one at my sister's, but that was it. It's just like, but like I went to my sister's and like rode the train to Long Island, which, you know, is my first time going all that way on the train. And I was like, fine. And then I had to, you know, drive back an hour and a half to get home. Usually I'd be so tired, I wouldn't even be able to like figure out how to do that. I totally did it. No problem. In fact, drove like a lot last week and was fine. Like, this is not normal for me.
Yeah. If you have hip pain, driving is like excruciating.
Yes. Yeah. So like, I don't know. It's witchcraft inside my butt.
I mean, it kind of really is, though. Because it's like a modern form of witchcraft where it's women that have, through various disciplines, you know, and a lot of hands-on research. So not just like somebody in a lab, but it's like actual practicing gynecologists.
Right.
And but also working with like women and possibly themselves and being like, let's identify, like, let's just wipe the chalkboard of, oh, well, menopause lady problems are crazy. Am I right? You know, like, which, you know, even premenopausal people, I'm sure, have, or just anyone that is either a biological uterus haver or a person that is femme presenting, just getting medical care that you need is very difficult.
So
you're
hard.
Treated as if you're hysterical. Yes. Your pain is minimized.
Oh yeah.
I've even by female doctors, which you pointed out, and it has been my experience too. And I think part of it is just, it's not that they don't care or they're misogynists or whatever, but it's just the status quo is so titanic, and the institutionalized misogyny is just, from the get go, I mean, the birth of modern gynecology is a literal horror show.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
So that's a whole other topic. Yeah. But like the fact that it's been so ass backwards for so long.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've talked about this before, but I think it's hilarious that in my lifetime, somebody was like, hey, maybe we could make these speculums, these like cold surgical steel, like.
Things
contraptions that we're gonna jam in your vaginal canal.
Like,
maybe we should make them not freezing cold.
I mean,
is that a can we do that?
Like, don't take them out of the cold drawer. God, that was the worst when I was growing up. They kept them in a special like frigid drawer. I'm like, I think this is on purpose. Like,
it makes no sense. Yeah. And like, if anyone had actually asked a woman, like,
do you like this cold thing?
Could this be more appealing or less appealing? And the fact that maybe you just, I mean, I took it for granted, you know, like me going to my first, you know, pelvic exam, like you're just like, okay, well, this is it. This is, I don't know. Because we have such respect for medical professionals too, that you're just like, well, surely this is the best way to do it.
Well, and also like, and you can't say that. You can't say, oh, could you heat that up first, please? Like, you know, they're going to think you're an asshole.
Right.
I don't know.
But I had some like symptoms after having a colpo where they had to do a biopsy of my cervix. Mm. And it was like very like physically and emotionally traumatizing.
Sure.
Like it freaked me out real bad.
Yeah.
And then also I was having like weird, like discharge and pain and stuff. Yeah. And so I talked to my doctor about it and she goes, well, that's weird. And I was like, yes,
not comforting.
That's why I'm telling you. Oh, she's like, yeah, that's not supposed to happen. I'm like,
could you?
That's why I'm telling you. Because I would like to fix it. And so that was just basically it wasn't like she was gaslighting me because that's not her manner and she's not a bitch. Yeah. But like, you know, it was just it wasn't.
Oh, I know.
You know, if you were like, oh, I can't, you know, see out of my eye.
People would be like, oh, okay, my God, well, let's get
to the bottom of that. As opposed to like, oh, that's weird. You're supposed to see out of both of them. Huh?
Right.
You know, like that would be such a weird reaction. But right. So getting back to your point of like this treatment is like witchcraft.
Yeah.
I think it totally is just because it's going back to, you know, it's women helping women.
Yep.
You know, or allies helping women. And it's taking the status quo and kind of taking the greatest hits from it. You know, we're not like anti-medicine, anti-science.
Right. Right.
But we are anti-institutionalized misogyny.
Right.
So, you know, and really coming at it from a completely different direction, which to me is witchcraft. It's like everybody has the same kind of, you know, card of hands or hand of
card of hands.
What does that mean?
That's the episode.
Hand of cards, right? You know, in the poker game of life. But like, what if you can come at it from like a different method instead of treading water the same way you have been?
Right. Exactly.
Which sounds really obvious once you fucking do it, but is a very radical act.
And also, and
to me, that's what witchcraft is. You are availing yourself of resources that are not available to everybody or that people are scared of and make not available to themselves.
I think also, and I'm not going to remember exactly which drug out of the, or not drug, but which hormone out of the three, one of them, I want to say it's the, I don't know, it might be the testosterone, I don't know. One of them is FDA approved and covered by insurance for men, but not for women.
What?
Yeah, because the PA, when she was telling me, you know, what was going to happen, she holds up like three little vials to say, you know, these are the things that are going to be inserted. And like one of these is approved for men, but not for women. And she was like real like shitty about it. I loved her face. She was like, yes, some bullshit. I mean, I think too. And oh, I don't want to. I think whoever found this YAM enzyme, I think it is credited to a male doctor. And that's fine. I think one of the things that I think we could have a whole episode on that we probably don't have time to today, but is the, and we've talked about it a million times, but just the complete dismissal of pain. That's been a really big problem for me in this whole journey, is just talking to doctor after doctor after doctor and telling them, like, you just start to gaslight yourself. You know, like, do I really feel that bad? Honestly, toward the last, like this last year, it's just, I started thinking, well, maybe is this just all in my head? Do I really not feel? Of course I feel fucking bad. I know when I feel bad. You know what I mean? It's like you stop believing yourself. So This has been very encouraging to have somebody like sit there, listen to all of my symptoms and say, we got you. And then, like, yes, take my money, it's fine. But like, I don't know, it's just, it's been an amazing change. And I can't think about, I don't know. And even I was really sad because I told a friend, like, oh, this is amazing, I can't believe how good I feel. And she goes, oh, placebo effect. I'm like, that's really fucking dismissive. like,
well, I mean, honestly, even if it was that, like,
I don't care.
It's right. Saying your results are pretty significant, yeah. What you're saying.
Yes.
So it's not like I'm like,
I mean,
like 5% better. Like, right. I feel less shitty. It's no, like you're saying that, like,
it's like 100% feel like change. A new person. Yes. Yes. And even if that, it's so, okay, so fine. Even if it is placebo, good for my brain, I guess. Whatever. I don't give a shit. But
I'm very excited that you're having awesome results and that you're feeling good. that's awesome. Two, I want to say I'm very proud of you for like taking your own symptoms seriously and like,
yeah,
doing like researching shit is fucking daunting. Yeah. And like,
ugh,
it's a lot of stuff to go through. You know, messaging people and like,
that was kind of scary. I was like
lucking out and getting a genuine response. Yeah. Like, that's great.
Yep.
And then also, I mean, taking the plunge to like go make an appointment, you know, this treatment isn't cheap.
Yep.
So that is another, I mean, cause not only, you know, are women kind of dismissed in terms of the severity of their symptoms or their pain, but like women are also kind of constantly policed or trained to police themselves of like, oh well, is this worth it? Like,
right,
do I deserve this? Right. But like we tend to phrase it in a more benign way of like, is it really worth it? Is this a waste of money?
Right.
Like, how long, you know, right, like you talk yourself out of stuff. Yep. And I mean,
exactly,
it's not a cheap treatment, it sounds like. And you know, it is like, I mean, it's minimally invasive, but they are like putting something under your skin. So to take the plunge and not talk yourself out of something, like, just wow. Well, that's like a whole lot of not just like, I mean, it's shadow work.
Well, and it took like,
to break through those barriers of diagnosing a problem, that being like, this is not right. I'm not, yeah, this is not how I'm supposed to feel.
Right.
And also being like, this is not because I'm a bad or lazy person.
No.
You know, getting over that. And then being, yeah, like, I deserve to feel better. Like, that's
literally
a lot of
been
work.
My entire thought process. It's very true. And I think the only bummer, I mean, it's not a real bummer, but like, I have to keep doing it, right? So it's $300 every probably 3 to 4 months. And I don't know if that's like ad infinitum, like for the rest of my natural born life. I mean, I'm not going to make these hormones ever again, clearly, but I always thought like at some point you are done menopausing and things just kind of like get back to a normal cadence, but maybe not. Maybe I have to take these hormones for fucking ever. And you know what? If it, like, I have felt so debilitated for the last 5 years that like, this is amazing to not have to like drag myself through the motions of life. It feels great. So that seems like a really good place to like stop talking, but like, thank you for like just giving me props. Cause I think,
yeah, I mean, I feel like it sounds sarcastic when I'm like, good for you.
No.
But like, I really mean it. Like,
yes,
one, I'm excited that you're feeling better, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just really proud of you that you like got the thing done.
Dude,
like, you know, like you tried a bunch of stuff. You had to wade through a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
You had to, you know, like go to a place. You had to throw down some money. Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of like emotional and mental and physical and financial commitment.
But I think it was like 5 years of all the other stuff, right? Like telling myself, is it worth, like, I didn't even know this was out there for the last 5 years. So there's that. But like,
and that's fucking upsetting too.
Right.
Just in general that like,
right. Well, I think it's been around for 10, but like, I didn't know about it until literally a few months ago when somebody mentioned it to me. I had never even heard of it. But just so in case anybody missed it and you need this or need to look into it, it is bioidentical hormone therapy replacement. And you're going to find a lot of haters like you do. Like, oh, it's not FDA approved. It's not safe. Don't give a shit. I will take my chances. If it makes me feel like more alive than I did, I'll take my fucking chances. I mean, I don't know. So far it feels great. I don't feel any side effects at all.
Great.
Did you have Halloween magic? Did you want to talk about?
Yeah, just a little bit.
I want to hear it. I'm here for it.
I have had. I got the COVIDs. Well, Mr. Scarlet got the COVIDs.
Yes.
He had it worse and he had it for longer. Mm. But long story short was for like almost 2 weeks, ugh, someone was sick and miserable.
Yeah.
And so we've just been at kind of like homebound homebodies and
homeschool.
Once I got sick, there were 3 days where I would just sleep, wake up, take NyQuil, drink some fluids,
go back to sleep.
Yeah. And like, it's like a blur of like 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, that put a giant monkey wrench in my 31 days of witchcraft. I got a little behind and was planning on catching up over, like, you know, 2 or 3 days that I thought I was going to have, like, completely free.
Yeah.
And instead I was sick. And yeah. I was like, well, nope. Fuckity fuck.
Yeah. Hey, you so did half was... of them. That's good enough for me. They were all
well,
fantastic.
I did more than I did 19 See? Out of 31.
There you so. Go. Done. And they were all awesome. So.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I do feel like the quality of each was pretty high.
Yes.
Which, so we can talk about that on a different podcast. Yes. But because of that, the week of Halloween or the weekend before didn't feel super Halloween-y. Mm. Like, you know, I didn't dress up. I didn't have a party. I didn't really go anywhere. Also, the trick-or-treating situation in our neighborhood was mega fucking weak this year. Mm-hmm. So we yeah. had 8 trick-or-treaters.
Wow.
And it was like 4 individual, like, door knocks.
Oh,
so
that's
it was, like
nothing for
kids.
You. Cause
it's
you
really
get
not.
A ton.
I mm. also, the Rangers were playing oh. and it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
They won.
They
the
won. Yay.
baseballs. I don't know. God, the most excruciating, like, 5 hours I've ever spent in my life was at a Rangers game.
I have stories. We don't have to tell God. Them now. Yeah.
Anyway, but I will say that I was feeling very witchy. I sort of took the opportunity of being off my gourd on NyQuil to, like,
yes.
sort of, like, savor that, like, sort of liminal space.
Yeah.
And, you know, being sleeping and... being a little bit out of it, you know, this disruption in my routine, days kind of blending together.
Yeah.
So I decided to kind of, like, lean into that
yeah.
and awesome. Sort of commune with, like, I was feeling very attracted to Morana or Morzana this season, who is a Slavic goddess that I am interested in working with and have a little bit, but not a whole lot. So I was kind of delving into that. And then... I also, so we've talked about this many times. I have a ritual that I started when I was a wee little girl where I vigorously sweep the porch on Halloween at sunset to ward off would-be vandals and ne'er-do-wells and things.
Yes.
To ward my entire house. And it lasts all year till the next Halloween.
Yep.
So I was getting ready to do that. And before that, I decided to re-up all my wards because we have this side yard that is technically a separate piece of property. And I don't really ever go over there ever. It's just sort of this, like, side lot. But we've had a problem recently with, like, people kind of, like, dumping stuff, like trash over there. And so don't like that. Want to keep trespassers away.
Yeah.
So I decided to kind of re-up all of that. So I took Mr. Herman, my little black dog, and we started at the southwest corner and went around counterclockwise. So I put in each corner of the property, I put a small black tourmaline to be like
yep.
ward and then suck away negativity
yep.
and keep people out. And then slight, like, a few inches into the property, I put a little pyrite, sort of tetrahedron
yeah.
kind of guy as, like, an offering to the land and house spirits.
Nice.
To enlist their help. And then I have a bunch of red brick dust because I have a red brick chimney in my kitchen that is, you know, non-operational, but for some reason it, like, sheds dust.
Oh, wow.
It is almost as if, like, a creature is gnawing at it, but I have never seen it. I don't know, but it sheds dust periodically. And so I started, like, scooping it up.
Yeah.
And so I had a little jelly jar of red brick dust, which is very common in particularly, like, voodoo. But
yeah.
Southern folk magic and stuff is used to ward off people. You usually pour it across a doorway to stop people that mean you harm from entering. So I started pouring out a line across the gate from the sidewalk into the property.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I was going to the next corner, my Herman stopped abruptly and I got him on a leash and I ended up dropping the little jelly jar with all the red brick dust like right there.
Oh, wow.
So I was done using it, but I yeah. was like, I don't, apparently somebody or something was like, we're going to just be like, keep the fuck out.
Oh.
And it was sort of like an opa, you know, like, nice. I don't know. And so I took, it broke into like three big pieces. Mm-hmm. So when I got to the next corner, which happens to be the one that is like a four-way
crossroads.
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a crossroads. So I did my tourmaline and my pyrite. Oh, and I also had handfuls of datura seeds that okay. I sprinkled there.
Nice.
I don't know if they'll end up sprouting yeah. or thriving there because they usually need a little bit extra water. But just as like, seeds and as a baneful herb, right. as like the
protection.
Spirit guardian.
Yeah.
So I put the pieces there because mm-hmm. I've buried offerings there before. And then, you know, I did the other two corners and then I stood kind of in the close to of the center of the property, which is like slightly outside of the house, and sort of imagined like sort of my warding and my force field or whatever you want to call it, sort of encompassing all those corners and everything. And that felt really good. And so then I was gonna go do my sweeping at sunset. And I had noticed a few days earlier when I went to go reach for my besom or my broom that because I made it, I had like a little kind of decorative sheaf of like dried grass and lavender and herbs and things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this would make a great end for a broom. And then when we first moved into the house, I found this like really great, like 3.5 feet long, almost perfectly straight rosewood branch.
That's perfect.
That,
oh yeah.
Yeah. So, cause when we were clearing out the brush and stuff, like that branch had been trimmed from something somewhere and just kind of got lost in the bramble.
Awesome.
So I pulled out this like pristine, perfect, like broom handle wand situation.
Amazing.
So
yeah.
I just jammed it into this like little bundle of stuff. And so last year I got some more because, you know, it's they're dried grasses and stuff. And over time they, you
deteriorate,
know, things fall
yeah.
out and they sort of deteriorate and whatnot. So I kind of topped it up with some more stuff.
Nice.
And then I retied it up. And it's literally just like this bundle of stuff and then like a really, really, really tight like burlap cord around it.
Right.
And so I used it as a prop for one of my 31 Days of Witches. And when I picked it up, the handle just kind of flew out. And I was like, well, fuck. So I was like, okay, so part of my ritual this year is I'm going to kind of rebuild the besom.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I going to do? And then I had the really bonkers idea. I was like, well, because at first I was like, I'm going to retie it. I was like, maybe I could get some wire or something that I could really just like tighten and tighten until it like gets really vice-like. And then I was like, ooh, what if I pour wax down the handle into the top of the broom?
Smart.
And so smart. I have a whole bunch of these tall, thin taper candles. They're like solid beeswax. They're not like the gross ones that your grandma used to have for Thanksgiving. So, but they're thin. They're like about a half an inch thick. And they're like, I don't know, probably like 7 or 8 inches, and I got 40 black one or more than that because I thought when I turned 40 it'd be really funny to make a cake and then have 40 candles on it.
Yes.
and it was so I had all these candles that had only been lit for like 30 seconds, and so I lit one and I was kind of dripping it, but that's pretty slow going.
Yeah.
And so I just started lighting candles and like I propped up my besom and I put it on top of the silver dish that we use as our fire bowl for rituals.
Oh, wow.
And then I had like, you know, a little end table and to lean it up so that it was still upright. Yeah. I used my witch's fork, which is a metal item that's got two prongs on each end.
Right.
So I, you know, stuck that, I put it under something heavy and then used the other prong to like, as a little holder.
Yeah.
It was like a perfect little holder for the
candle,
the candle for the oh, for handle of the broom.
Okay.
So that the broom was standing up like pretty perpendicular to the ground.
Right.
So then I started melting the tips, the bottoms of the candles, and like sticking them on to so it was sort of like this like broom hand of glory where I had like all these like long skinny candles that were burning and dripping black wax.
Oh my God.
And they were all just like you know, and so I had to sit there and like monitor them because I was like, I don't want to catch my entire fucking broom on
burn
fire.
The house down. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I just had visions of the whole entire thing like going up, but yeah. Then also I was like, this is gonna be fucking rad. It just looked so cool, but it was like,
I was gonna say,
a real bad idea.
Did you
but
take
like,
a picture? I want pictures.
Yes,
of
I took some pictures.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I ended up burning 10 candles because we've been in the house for 10 years.
Oh, perfect.
And so
yeah.
So yeah. So basically, they would get. I would just melt it. Had these like little candle nubs, and they were all at like kind of different heights and like all around the rim of it, and I would kind of take like just one candle that was loose and sort of go around and make sure, like, you know, and sometimes little bits and bobs would catch and I'd blow it out and I'd have to relight the candles and everything.
This is amazing.
Yeah, and it worked perfectly. Yeah. Like the wax started like really dripping down and soaking into it.
Yeah.
And so now all those like little loose bits that were just being held on by like the pressure of a string are now kind of like
waxed in there. Oh.
Waxed in there.
Oh my God. What a great, and said like a cool ritual too. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it looked fucking great. Yeah. I mean, it felt dangerous because, you know,
fire
hazard.
You know, but you're good at that.
Yeah.
You're good at fire. That's awesome. Oh, that sounds really cool. And I can't wait to see pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
I will
rad.
Share some pictures.
Please do. Well, that sounds pretty fucking successful. Success on Halloween. Yay. Sorry, we went a little long, but we had a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, we did.
We did. Well, and I don't want anybody else to think that we are never going to talk about Hail Hecate again, because we are. But with Scarlett's illness and my just overall new exuberance for life, we are both a little behind on Mr. Grail's wonderful presentations of the Hecate series. So we will get back on that. We promise. But ooh, wouldn't it be rad if we could hit episode 100 by the end of the year? I think it
oh
would.
Oh my gosh.
Be. Can you
I
believe
we
it?
Can do it?
We've only been podcasting for like 100 years. It feels like, I'm sorry, 18 years. No, it's been, it's been a while, but it's been a while. Anyway, sorry, I can't help myself. But hey, yeah, no, we will be back. We're feeling good. We're feeling ready for the festivities. I'm ready for some tea. I want some tea.
I want more lasagna in my life.
Lasagna soup. Make your little cheese balls and melt them.
I will.
Them into your broom. I mean, be a delicious broom. I love it. Until next time, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hocus pocus, bitches.